If you ache for truth, goodness, and beauty, if you're hungry for a Christianity with substance and strength, if you long for a faith that's big and bold and biblical and all about Jesus Christ, if you're inspired by the idea of one church that has spanned 20 centuries, 24 time zones, and two hemispheres, enfolding every race, nation, and language, then you're considering Catholicism. Welcome back to Considering Catholicism. Ed and I are still here, as we were in the last episode, at the secret compound.
Yes, and it's a beautiful day.
It is a beautiful day here in the piney woods with a breeze blowing through the trees. Lake Michigan is a short distance away.
I'm telling myself that the sound in the trees is the ocean. It makes me feel better.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, it's the sound of the trees blowing off the Great Lake. And it's just a lovely afternoon, a lovely spring afternoon.
I have an app that tells me what the water temperature is because I like to get in Lake Michigan, but it's always cold. It never gets warm. Right now, it's 49.6 degrees.
Yeah, that's a little
chilly.
Which
means I'm not getting in it.
No, you're not going to get in it. But in any case, we're sitting out here. We have not been mauled by wild animals yet.
Yep.
Nor have we suffered from exposure or extreme hunger or anything like that that would cause some kind of a dramatic Donner Party type story,
Let's not have that.
Yeah. So anyway, all is well. And we're going to have a conversation about a question that a listener sent in. So this is a listener named Carolyn, and Carolyn lives on the West Coast. And she says, "Hi, I'm a big fan of the show. Thank you, Carolyn. I grew up Catholic." She spent the last 10 years in Protestant churches. And the question is, what is the expectation in the Catholic faith with sharing the good news of Jesus in our community with our neighbors and coworkers? And the context, she says, of that is that Catholic services do not seem very inviting to the average person who's curious about God. I could bring, let's say, a coworker to a non-denominational service, and they're set up in a very approachable and relatable way. And she kind of unpacks this a little bit here. But the gist is, she's coming back to the Catholic Church and she wants to invite others. And this podcast and other things going on in her life have helped her want to come back to the Catholic Church and appreciate it. And now she's excited and wants to share her faith. And she says, well, aren't we supposed to share our faith? But how do we do that when the masses at your local parish are not very user-friendly, seeker-friendly, approachable, because as she said, and this is, you and I have talked about this endlessly. In fact, we talked about it just in the last conversation, in the last episode, which is that when you go to those contemporary evangelical churches, it's all designed to make you feel comfortable. So people walk in and they go, the music is going to be popular music. Right. They make feel comfortable. The seats are going to be comfortable. They're going to have coffee and scones that you can get. There's going to be funny moments in the thing where the worship leader or whoever gets up there and does funny announcements. And there's going to be kind of a video package and there's going to be this and that. And then the pastor's going to get up there and his sermon or his message is going to be approachable and it's going to have funny, lighthearted moments and great anecdotes and then some profound insights. And then you're going to go out into the lobby and there's going to be snacks or something. And the whole thing is just designed to make you feel comfortable. It's approachable.
Mm-hmm.
And Carolyn is saying, if I take a friend, coworker, or whatever to a local Catholic mass, they're going to walk in and go, this doesn't seem approachable for someone who doesn't understand it. What are they doing? Why is everybody standing up and sitting down at different times? What are they talking about? Why is the music like this? Why are they saying, chanting something here and they're doing this? And why is the kid in the white robe coming down and handing the priest something or other? And the whole thing just feels like inscrutable and you can't understand what's going on most of the time. And it doesn't seem oriented towards the average person's wants, needs, or concerns. And so she says, how am I then supposed to evangelize as a Catholic if I can't, bring people to Mass?
Right.
So I thought this was an interesting question to bring here to you, Ed, because you, as Ed the Protestant, who is on his road to Rome or whatnot, this is kind of what you've been walking down from the beginning,
yeah,
of trying to sort of find your way into the Catholic Church and understand it. And I'll never forget, we actually did an episode way back whenever, almost a couple of years ago,
yeah,
where you went to your first Mass, and then we went to a coffee shop or something around the corner from the church and with the microphones and recorded your first impressions of your first Mass and all this sort of thing. So I want to kind of throw this back at you a little bit and ask you this. As a Protestant coming out of that non-denominational world where everything is so comfortable and seeker-friendly and approachable, how has sort of the glide path for entering the Catholic Church, how hard is it to get what's going on?
Right.
The first time you went to Mass, or there's some other things when you, first time I took you to the cathedral one time,
right,
you went to a Eucharistic adoration one time. How much of that was hard to find your way into?
Well, let's talk about it as your sort of missionary effort toward me, okay? You never tried ever to sell me on the experience, ever, okay? In fact, how I got into this was that I was occasionally posting something on Facebook, and every once in a while you'd jump in, and if the opportunity was there, you'd take a little shot. Knowing me, you'd take a little shot, and I would be intrigued. And then there was this sort of epic texting session one night,
yeah,
and I said, my wife said, "What are you doing? Who are you talking to?" I said, "It's Greg. Just leave it alone." and then I was intrigued. Okay. You invited me to come to the class on Dante. And that's the first time I had walked into a Catholic church.
Yeah. I didn't bring you to Mass first.
Yeah. Or anything. You were not talking about the Mass or how I would like the Mass or anything, because I wouldn't have, or not much. And I came in, and it's the first time I had walked into a Catholic church, not to go to a wedding or something. And here's the statues of Mary, and I don't know, what do I think about this, right? We go in, and the class, you start the class out with a prayer, and it's a Hail Mary, and I'm thinking, oh boy, do I ever feel like I'm sticking out here, because I don't know this prayer. And then you took me to the cathedral, and I was a little more intrigued, but the whole time, the reason you were doing that is because I expressed interest in what was going on. Okay. I had come to the point in my life when I said, I think I need to know more about this. And so when you finally took me to the Mass, no, I didn't know what was going on. You gave me a cheat sheet and it helped a little, but mostly I was just observing. And it was enough to draw me in. I thought, okay, knowing now what I already know about the Catholic faith, and now coming here, I see that this is a mile deep, and that if I was to join this, that I would have a lot to learn and a long ways to go. But if you had just said, hey, have you ever thought about being Catholic? And I said, I don't know. And you said, let's go to a Mass. I would have said, well, I don't know.
Right.
I came in a different way.
See, I think in the case of yourself and in the case of this podcast, when I started it, part of this was, I want to be careful about what I say, because the right way in is whichever way God is going to bring you in.
Right.
There's stories about people who say, my entry to Catholicism was, I was on vacation in Europe and I walked into some cathedral.
Right.
And I looked up and was in awe with the stained glass and the this and the that. And I just, you know, it hooked my spirit and my soul. Or there's people who say it was because a friend of mine who was super kind to me was Catholic. Or there'll be people who'll say, hey, I was studying history or philosophy or theology, and I started reading Catholic theologians or philosophers. Or people will say, I was impressed that the Catholic Church is standing up against abortion or euthanasia or something. Right. And that was the thing that kind of hooked me in. But what I would say is that I don't want to say that people can't find their way in any way that God's going to lead them in, or the Holy Spirit's going to lead them, including walking into a Mass for the first time,
sure,
and just going, wow, this was fantastic.
Yeah.
That being said, I don't think that's going to be the typical experience of your average American evangelical, that the way they're going to find themselves into the Catholic Church is by just walking into a Mass cold.
Right.
Because there are cultural expectations that have been formed in terms of what church is supposed to be like within American culture, right?
Right.
So, and I don't just mean in the last 20 or 30 or 40 years of the contemporary church, but really kind of throughout the history of this country or whatever, which was in a lot of ways heavily influenced Protestantism and this sure. and that. And so people have an expectation that a church service, if they go to it, is first of all going to be, yeah, I'm going to be careful about what I, how I phrase this, but that it's going to be directed at them. It's going to be a presentation yes. directed at them. Now, are there some Protestant denominations, maybe more high church Lutherans or high yeah. church Anglicans or this or that, where it's going to be more liturgical sure. and yeah. But in general,
yeah,
what Americans for a couple hundred years have been framed to expect is a presentation to them of either Bible teaching
yep.
or Bible-based life principles or something like that, right? And that the music and that occurs there is going to be something that encourages them to sort of sing along.
Yeah.
And so it's either in a more traditional Protestant church, whether it's going to be hymns or whether it's a contemporary church where you're singing off the screen, praise choruses or whatever. The whole thing is to get me participating, enthusiastically right. participating and draw me into that and then give me some presentation, again, right. some sermon, some speech, some message, and in the contemporary church, some video, some something that's going to kind of give me some useful
right.
teaching or preaching or something. And that's what church is. So if you grow up in that context,
right?
Right, if you grew up in that context and you take somebody out of that context, it'd be like saying, hey, we're going to go to a movie and your idea of a movie is going to be like a comedy or a drama or something. And we go and it's a documentary or a weird French foreign
right.
film, right, with subtitles. And you go, this isn't a movie. Or what's always fun is when people travel to other countries and they'll say, one of my favorite things is when I take people to Italy, right? And the Americans will get off the plane and you go to the hotel. And then the next morning I go, let's go get coffee first thing in the morning before yeah. we head out and look at the churches and museums or whatever for the day. And I say, well, there's a coffee bar across the street and they're imagining like Starbucks or something
yeah,
where
yeah.
they're going to go in yeah. and they're going to get this 24 ounce
yeah.
big thing of whatever with a giant scone or right. something. Right. And you go in there and coffee is basically like an espresso
yeah.
that they just hand you standing up and you go, that's, and they go, where's my coffee? And I go, that's your coffee. that's what coffee is here. So,
right.
so again, sometimes when we've been on the plane going over there, I try to sort of prepare people right. for this is going to be a little different than what you're expecting. I even remember taking people on mission trips to everywhere from Cuba to Nicaragua to Colombia to right. Africa over the years and saying, hey, before we go, I just want to frame your expectations of what... Right. you're going to see and feel and experience there because it's not going to be what you're used to. That makes sense?
Yes.
So much of our American culture has conditioned us to expect a certain kind of experience in church, and that is largely an experience that's going to be oriented around a lot of talking
mm-hmm.
yep. and a lot of singing, and a lot of that is going to be sort of horizontal in dimension. In other words, yeah. it's going to be about
yeah.
the singers or the preacher, whoever, talking to me, giving me something entertaining or meaningful or useful right. and allowing me to sort of join in. So then they go to a Catholic mass and they go, what is this? Because right. there are points at which you're going to sing, but you're not going to sing through all of it. There are going to be points where the choir sings or a cantor sings or the priest chants. The parts that you participate in are going to be scripted, right?
Right.
There's going to be certain prayers that you say. Your participation is sometimes physical gestures, kneeling here, making the sign of the cross, doing these things. So there's a series of scripted activities that you do. Your participation is not what it's all about. You're going to have a big chunk in the middle where the priest is going to prepare the Eucharist, right? Do the Eucharistic prayer and all that. And that's him sort of talking to God.
Right.
And you watching.
Right.
You're going to have lectors who are going to read the Word of God and then not explain it, and it's not going to be on a screen. So there's a lot of things about it that are just really outside, just completely discordant with everything right. that your culture has prepared you for. That being said, then the question becomes, all right, if I have somebody that I want to introduce to the Catholic Church, is my first go-to move to say, come with me to Mass? Now, I've tried this a couple of times since I became Catholic with people in my life, family members, friends, where I said, I'm super enthusiastic. I've become Catholic. Will you come to church with me? And it's generally not gone great.
Right.
Because most of the people I invited were very, very faithful evangelical Christians. And they came with me one time and were completely perplexed by what was going on. And it was not what they expected. And it didn't meet their needs or scratch their itches. Right. And they couldn't figure it out. And I remember asking one of them one time afterwards, so what did you think of that? And they said, well, now I know I don't ever want to.
Right.
I don't ever want to become Catholic, right? Because it just was like weird and perplexing. So I've adjusted my tactics somewhat. Right. That was part of the reason I started the podcast and the conversations with you and other people, which is that I think that in order to approach the Catholic Mass and approach, you have to begin to understand Catholicism.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is not that you have to memorize the catechism or that you have to study Catholic history or whatever, but it is, because it is a different cultural, civilizational frame.
Right.
Just like if I would take you on a mission trip to Africa and I'd go, okay, everything here is going to be different than back home. So it's not so much that I need you to take college courses on African history, as much as I need to shift your worldview a little bit, or your frame of your expectations of what we're here and what it's about and what it is.
Right.
Because actually, if you make that shift of your, what I'm calling your frame, right? Because you think of like framing a camera, right? Or whatever. If you shift the frame, then all of a sudden it's deeply meaningful and powerful and meets your needs. So part of it is helping people to find their way into Catholicism or find their way into the Mass and into the church by understanding the worldview, the culture, the mindset, the thinking of Catholicism. And in that frame, then it all starts to click and fit together. And well, I think that's what we've been doing for a couple of years together.
In many ways, the entry into Protestantism is the church service. That's the first thing you do. For me, my entry into Catholicism, the Mass will be probably the last thing, full participation in the Mass. And even then, I'd have to go through the class and then classes, and then I'm sure it would take me a while to get into the flow of it.
Well, to be clear, there's nothing nothing in the church preventing you from going to Mass. Now, I know there are things in your life that
that's what I mean,
but right, you can go to what you can't do is come down and take the Eucharist. But even that, even that's not user friendly. So you go, okay, I'm going to go to Mass, and the whole last third of the Mass, whatever, everyone's going to go down, and I'm supposed to just sit in my seat and watch everybody walk past, and then I feel, you can go down and you can cross your arms and receive, and it's not technically a blessing that you're given, but the priest will say something. It's kind of like a blessing. But the point is that makes you feel awkward because now everyone's getting up in their pews to go down and you're just sitting there and you're not participating. And I went to Masses for a while before I became Catholic because I was investigating and checking. But again, I didn't start going to the Masses until I'd been reading about Catholicism and studying about Catholicism for in my case, many years. So I approached the Mass with this different frame, this different context. So when I finally approached it, it all made complete sense to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's what we've been doing with yourself, because for the last couple of years, all the conversations we've had about so many different topics, or 200 and whatever it is episodes on this podcast at this point, you haven't been on all of them, but all of these conversations about everything, liturgy, worship, history, philosophy, all these things that all sort of make it make sense. And you sort of find your way into that world.
Yep.
And when I read listener emails and the messages that all of you send, I just every day get so many stories from people who say, I'm finding my way into Catholicism because I'm starting at this point. I started listening to this podcast, or I started reading some stuff because I was curious about this topic or this topic or something. And then that led me to investigate more. And for a lot of people, yeah, going to the mass is not the first move, but maybe not the last move, but
right.
they're approaching it with that larger context. And so what I kind of wrote back to this listener, Caroline, and I said, hey, maybe think about where you have these friends, maybe begin engaging them with some topics and conversations,
right.
Some of the stuff that we do here, right. Or things that are interesting. I'll give you, for instance, again, I keep coming back to this about the buildings, because so many people have this profound experience when they're traveling. Mm-hmm. And they'll, maybe whether it's in Europe or maybe, and they go into some magnificent cathedral, right. And they're just impressed and blown away and curious, right. Or they see some great work of Catholic art or
right. Something
like that. And that's the thing that makes them go, wow, I want to, what goes on in this building? And that begins to draw you in and prepare you then
right. To, yeah. So for instance, maybe Carolyn could say, hey, let's go invite a friend. You want to go on a, let's go shopping. Let's go down to the state line down by Notre Dame and let's go shop. There's, you know, a lot of cool stuff down around there. And then you want to go tour the cathedral? I've always wanted to do that. Let's go tour the cathedral. And then I'll tell you what I would call the tipping point. And I wrote a blog post about this when we had a blog, and it was about the Mary episode. And here I was thinking all along that if I converted to Catholicism, this is 2 years ago, if I converted to Catholicism, it would be because I had all my questions answered, okay, intellectually. And then on that podcast, you talked about who Mary was and how God chose her and drew her in. And then the larger context of that was the communion of the saints. And by the time we were done and I stood up from the table here, I thought, man, I was compelled, and it wasn't intellectual, kind of surprised me. And I think the way I put it in the blog post was, I always thought I would come in the front door all very formal and all. And instead, I came in through the kitchen because it smelled so good. I just had to go.
Yeah, I think that's a great example. And I think people are going to find their own ways in.
Yes.
Again, we get emails and messages and such from people all around, well, not around the United States, but around the world. And they write in all kinds of great questions, and they tell these amazing stories about how they're considering Catholicism or they're entering the church or they're curious about it. And what strikes me so often is they all start from different places, but there's some one thing that they're trying to figure out. So for some people, it will be like this doctrinal thing. They're like, I've been sitting in Protestant churches my whole life, and there's some aspect of Protestant doctrine that just isn't making sense to me, or I've struggled with, or maybe I've heard some Catholic stuff about this doctrine that starts to make sense for me. You know, it'll be anything from baptism to, you know, the whole sola scriptura thing and right. How to read the Bible or whatever. And that one thing, they go, man, I needed to know more about that. And so they start reading about it. They start going on YouTube. They start searching the internet, and then they go, well, I looked for Catholic podcasts and I found you, and I found an episode that they're scrolling mm-hmm. through that looked like it dealt with this one question that was been nagging at. And maybe it's a doctrinal question, maybe it's a moral question. A lot of people, it'll have something to do with moral issues. I've had people write in and say, hey, something to do with marriage or children or family, and I started to investigate what the Catholic Church teaches about divorce or hot button sort of social topics today, right. Whether that's abortion or euthanasia or whatever. It doesn't matter. Somebody will start somewhere and they'll start investigating that. And then they'll start, again, they're watching YouTubes, they're, you know, listening to podcasts, they're, you know, talking to people. And then that, they start following that thread. They start gnawing on that piece. And then that sort of opens them up to this whole world of Catholic thought, the Catholic Church, Catholic culture, right? All the things that we talk about with Catholicism. And that's the thing then that begins shifting that frame, that conceptual frame, so that at some point down the line, they go to Mass and they go, I understand this. First of all, it's sacramental. It's right. It's not, it's geared toward around the sacraments. We've talked about this a lot, that there's three things that happen in every church service, right? There's going to be singing
mm-hmm.
and there's going to be a sacrament. And there's going to be a sermon. Okay?
Yep.
Protestants have sacraments. Maybe they don't do it every service.
Right.
But, right, there's going to be singing sacraments and sermons. The issue is what's central.
Right.
And what's central to it is often captured by the architecture. So when you walk into a Protestant church, a traditional Protestant church, what is right in the center of the stage up front?
The pulpit.
The pulpit.
Yeah.
Because the center of this thing is the sermon. And maybe there's a piano off to one side, and over there somewhere off to a side, there's a table. It's like the communion table that they bring out every 4 weeks or something, right?
Yep.
Maybe there's a baptismal font somewhere over in a corner. But the central thing is by the architecture, and everyone's in rows of seats aimed at the pulpit so they can listen to the sermon. That's the center. If you go into the evangelical contemporary churches, what's the center? The singing. Right, I mean, really, that's the worship. By the way, that term, which we grew up with, just drives me crazy. Is this is the worship time or the time for worship?
Right.
And you go, what do you mean by? Well, now it's time for the worship. You go, what's the worship? The worship is where we sing songs for 20 minutes. That's the worship. Not that this whole thing, the liturgy, is worship. It's just the worship is the singing of the praise songs. And so, when you walk into that church, what is prominent? The big screens and the band instruments.
Right.
There's going to be all these instruments up there. This is your world.
Yeah.
And there are all the instruments lined up there and all the microphone. And and there's not even a pulpit, because what happens is when the pastor comes out to do the message, he doesn't even have a pulpit. Maybe they bring out a music stand.
Yeah, or they bring one out for him.
Or they bring out a pulpit or a lectern thing he can put his notes on, or a music stand. Or he doesn't even use it at all. He just comes out and walks around. So what's central there is the singing. And then, of course, when you walk into a Catholic church, what's in the center?
The altar.
The altar. I mean, it's over off to one side. There's the ambo where they read the scriptures,
right?
And over on another side, there's an organ or a piano,
right?
And where the cantor stands. But what's central is the sacrament, the altar.
Right.
Because that's the thing that the liturgy orbits around.
Right.
So if you come into this thing with, again, that cultural expectation that this is either going to be about a sermon or singing, and there's the homily is only 7 minutes.
Right.
And there's limited singing, and a lot of it is all wrapped up in this sacrament in the middle. You go, what was that?
Right.
But if somebody, again, has spent time finding their way in, understanding what Catholicism and what the ancient church is all about, and to do with Eastern Orthodoxy or anything else, and understanding that the sacrament is the central, or the sacraments are the central thing around which the liturgy rotates, then it all begins to make perfect sense. You may still need to learn the mass responses, and it doesn't feel weird. It makes complete sense that the center of this thing is gathering around the altar of sacrifice.
There's so much going on in Catholicism that it took me a while before I started to connect one thing to another, but it was eventually a picture emerged. It's when you put a piece of paper over a penny and then you scrape, you run your pencil over it, and pretty soon you start to get the picture, not all at once. That's how it was, or like a jigsaw puzzle, right? Pretty soon I started to see a picture and I thought, oh man, this over here connects to this over here. In the Dante class, I thought, man, this has been 700 years and they had this fully formed moral theology. I mean, serious. I mean, Dante didn't invent moral theology. It was already there. He was just, building off of it. That was one thing for me, and hearing your explanations and so forth and so on. And finally, I thought, oh man, this picture is emerging and I want in.
So I want to kind of give you the last word here for Carolyn and other listeners. As you now have been on this journey for 2 years, I know that there are people in your life that you are trying to gradually introduce to Catholicism.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them you've mentioned on the show, like your high school buddies. And one of them actually we've named Doug, Doug the Protestant.
Yeah.
And I think I got an email or something from Doug the Protestant not too long back or something, or maybe a comment or something on one of the episodes. And so I know that you've been kind of talking and sharing with some people and some other people in your family and others. So I want you to kind of have the last word on this to Carolyn and other listeners. How do you approach sharing the Catholic faith, and what advice do you have for them as they want to evangelize and do that?
I think you have to be aware and praying about being aware of where the people you come in contact with, where they are. Okay. There's some things you just can't say to certain people. So here I am sitting, like we've talked about a couple of times, with my three buddies from high school having breakfast, and a couple of them were kind of pounding on me. But because I had educated myself or been educated by you, and I've done a lot of YouTubing and reading and all this stuff, I had answers. I had decent answers for them. And I could see it on the faces of two of the guys. They were just rolling their eyes, or they're not buying it. They're just not buying it. But Doug, my friend Doug, was listening and nodding. And so eventually he said, hey, or I said at the table, I'm in this podcast, obviously, if you're interested. And he said, oh, I listen to podcasts when I'm working all day. He's got a pool service. And so he works alone. And he said, I listen to podcasts all the time, 3 or 4 of them a day. He said, yeah, hook me up with that. That was the sort of the extent of my proselytizing with Doug. And I think that's, you just wait and pick your spots and then pray.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think if you are going to invite somebody to Mass for the first time, there are a lot of things that you can do to frame that experience and prepare them for it. Have that conversation with them. Say some of the things that we've said right here. I want to let you know that it's not going to be primarily a sermon, and it's not going to primarily be a big song fest. It's going to be around the sacrament. It's going to focus on this. And there's a ton of, not only this podcast, but there's a ton of little YouTubes.
Yep.
If you just Google explaining the Mass or introduction to the Mass, sometimes sending that to somebody and having them watch that at first. There's a lot of ways you can just, so they don't walk in there and go, that was weird.
And remember that it's God doing the work in somebody's heart, not you.
Oh,
it's the Holy Spirit drawing a person. If they're being drawn to the Catholic faith, it's God doing it and not you. So you're not responsible for trying to work it up in them or trick them or be clever or...
Oh, absolutely. You know, I mean, I know people who, you know, had been in, say, well, either they weren't churched at all, or maybe they had grown up in a Pentecostal church or a contemporary church or whatever, and they walked into a Mass the first time cold, not knowing what to expect. And the Holy Spirit just struck them. They were struck by the beauty and the reverence and all these things. And it's the thing that they'd been looking for their whole lives. So, yeah, I mean, you never know how God's going to work. But I do think there are things that you can do short of just inviting them cold to a Mass and hoping that they get it, to basically begin to draw them towards the Catholic faith. And the last thing I guess I want to say, I said you get the last word,
but that's all right.
I lie. Because I want to make this point, which is the one thing that we don't want to do, and we the Catholic Church won't do, is to try to make the Mass user-friendly. So there were some really goofball attempts in the 70s and the 80s, I think, in some Catholic churches to have the guitar Mass and the this and that, and to try to incorporate some of these kind of like evangelical theatrics into the Mass or folk stuff into the Mass, and the thought that we could kind of make it more friendly, palatable or whatever. And those all backfired because all of the churches that did the whole baby boomer progressive Mass thing, that just drove people away the last two generations because of that. And I think the Catholic Church, the liturgy is the liturgy. And even Pope Francis, who a lot of people consider to be very progressive, has enforced the liturgy and said, look, the liturgy is the liturgy and you need to do it the right way. And the church isn't going to apologize for that or adjust it, but it does take understanding. It's, I don't want to say like the acquired taste, but one of those foods where you know, you introduce it to somebody and you go, this is going to gross you out the first time you have it. But after a while, you sort of like it.
It's like coffee.
Yeah.
Everybody drank coffee when I was growing up. And I thought the first time I tasted it, I thought, why would you do this?
Well, good stuff. Hey, so Carolyn and all the rest of you out there, we do have a duty to evangelize. Use all the resources available, including this podcast, to spark conversations and help move people in those directions and prepare them to experience the Mass for the first time and answer their questions. And just trust that the Holy Spirit will lead you where you need to go. Okay.
Great.
All right. Thanks, Ed.